My dearly beloved in Christ, let us briefly review the events narrated by the Gospel of St. Luke that we just read. How Joseph and Mary were compelled to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of about 90 miles, when Our Lady was near the time of delivery because of the edict of the emperor. So here we see our Blessed Mother and our Divine Lord in her womb submitting to this secular ruler. And we see in this that all things work together to fulfill God's will, because it had been prophesied long before that the Redeemer would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so Joseph and Mary make that journey, but sadly, when they arrive at Bethlehem, Our Lady, ready to give birth, there is no room. It reminds you of the words we read of in the last gospel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so they obtain shelter, the only place available, a poor stable, a cave, where the Savior of the world was born. Our Divine Lord came not to flaunt his divinity, his majesty, his omnipotence, but to give us an example of humility, his love of the spirit of poverty, and his submission to all authority. And so the divine Savior was born in a stable and laid in the manger where the animals feed from, indicating that he was to be our food in the Holy Eucharist. Then we see that an angel appears to shepherds. Notice it says that the shepherds were living in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. What a difficult task. The lowest strata, you might say, of society, the shepherds. They were the ones who were given first the news of the birth of the divine Redeemer. At first, they were startled. The angel appeared to them and told them to not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with that angel who gave them this wonderful tiding, there was a multitude of heavenly spirits singing and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. Now, these words provide us with an opportunity of reflection, because this is our duty to give honor and glory to God, our Creator. We spoke about this last Sunday, how Almighty God from all eternity was, has always been, perfectly blissful, has no need of creatures to complete his bliss, but out of his mere goodness, created us, gave us this wonderful opportunity to get to heaven, to be with him forever. So you might say he created us for himself. And as we work out our salvation, which is our first duty, we are thereby giving honor and glory to Almighty God, our Creator. So what does it mean to give glory to God? There are many places in Scripture that refer to the angels in heaven continuously praising God, worshiping him, giving him honor and glory. So to give glory to God means that we recognize his perfections. It's been defined as the glory of God is the external manifestation of his perfections. So this is our duty, to recognize them, to honor and love and serve God, and thereby give him glory. The founders of religious orders were very aware of this duty. Saint Benedict wrote in his rule, Ut in omnibus Deus glorificetur, that in all things God may be glorified. The Latin initials would be UIOGD. So sometimes you see that in a book written by, say, a Benedictine monk, that in all things God may be glorified. And St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order in the 16th century, said much the same thing. His motto was, ad majorem Dei gloriam, to the greater glory of God, AMDG, to the greater glory of God. So when you see those initials, you know what they mean. This duty, giving honor and glory to Almighty God. That is our duty, that should be our joy. And indeed brings peace. Notice what the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. What is peace? It has been defined as the tranquility of order. If everything is ordered in our lives, we have peace. We still have trials. We still have external crosses and trials that come our way, but deep inside our soul, there is peace. If we are doing God's will, and if our conscience is at rest in doing God's holy will, this is a beautiful gift that God gives to those who love and serve him. Peace of heart. If you're troubled, then something is wrong. Something is wrong in your life. Your life is not completely in accord with God's plan for you. And we should correct that so that we might have this peace that God wills us to have. You know these words of the angels, this beautiful hymn of the angel, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill, inspired the prayer that we said right after the Kyrie, and the choir sang, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, one of the most beautiful prayers of the Mass, right towards the beginning. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men of goodwill. We adore thee, we glorify thee, we praise thee, etc. A beautiful prayer. So let these words of the angel remind you, remind us of our duty to give glory to God. And by doing that, we achieve the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that is a harbinger of everlasting happiness and peace in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.